I'd like to continue the lessons that we were talking about on raising children. And I would like to move up to another level of children. And we look at the children. I know we got a lot of toddlers running around. And it's easy to get wrapped up in this, you know, thinking, well, that they're going to be that way for years. Years pass by very quickly when you get distracted with kids. And the quickness of which children grow is just absolutely surprising. The years between 5 and 9 especially seem to fly by very quickly. This is a time when usually kids enter into school. They start learning things. They start developing relationships with other people, not just within the immediate family. They actually deal with, if they're going to school, they deal with, you know, teachers, friends, especially at that age period, they're usually attracted to friends of the same sex as they are. Very, very, very common that they boys pal around with boys, girls stay around with girls, and the other side has cooties. And that's just the way it is. That's the way we develop as children. Sibling rivalry is also something very common during this age, especially if you've got siblings that are of the opposite sex, for the same reason. Growth is very steady at this time. And that's because, you know, a child, when they're newborn, grows very, very rapidly. It slows down. They grow very rapidly just about to the age of 5. And then it slows to a very steady state of about 2 inches a year, 1 to 2 inches a year. And it goes that way until they hit adolescence. So, yeah, you have to buy new clothes about every other year, but it's a steady state as they grow up. Also, they haven't hit any wild hormones yet. They haven't hit any strangeness. The area that you spent a lot of time developing and teaching them when they're young, a lot of those lessons have taken effect. And so, during this time period, from about 5 to 9, it's probably one of the best years. You feel like, I did it. I have kids that actually do what they're supposed to do. They're polite, they're obedient, well, most of the time. And we get along pretty well. Now, about this time also, they start having their own ideas of what they would like to do. Sometimes those ideas conflict with what the parents would like to do. So you'll have problems like moaning and groaning over chores. Not that it's and taking them away from anything important, but it's just not what they want to do at the moment because they're still children and are focused on the here and the now and not the later. You know, you can tell a child, well, you can get back to your game later. Well, that's forever. You know, they focus, it's not now, so therefore I'm not doing it. And if you understand that viewpoint, helps you deal with it. Still got to deal with it, but it still at least gives you a little understanding about it. Children at this time really need to learn responsibility. One of the things that, if you haven't noticed as I'm going through this series, probably one of the most important things about parenting is that you have to understand that what you do with a child at different age levels changes. One of the biggest mistakes parents make is they use the same style, say, hey, it worked, and I get to use it until they're 18. It don't work that way. It just doesn't fit. You have to change your style to match what they're capable of. And one of the things here at this age is the fact that you can't watch your children, not like when they were toddlers, when you're basically watching them all the time. They're going off to friends' houses. They're going to school. They're going to other places. You don't see them all the time. You can't watch them every minute of the day, nor should you want to watch them every minute of the day. But they have to learn responsibility. And this is the time when you have to emphasize that they need to be responsible for what they are doing. In Romans chapter 14, that's where we'll start this evening. Romans chapter 14, and in verse 12. Romans 14, verse 12. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. If we understand that for us as adults, then we have to instill that same idea into our children so that they grow up expecting that. Everyone is accountable. We have a society that's grown up trying to avoid responsibility. It's always somebody else's fault. We don't want that in our children. We understand we're accountable for our actions before God. Our children have to grow up the same way. A child should be able to take fairly complex instructions and carry them out independently. Just like we are to be able to do responsible for our actions. In Luke chapter 12, Luke 12, starting with verse 42, the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and sensible steward, whom his master will put in charge of his servants, to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, 'My master is a long time coming,' and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come at a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know, and will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And the slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord to his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom they are entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more." Here's then the principle that we need to instill. If you're entrusted with a responsibility, you carry it out. We're held responsible for our actions, whether God is standing over us or not. God sees everything that we do. We might not see God, but God sees us. And just because God doesn't zap us when we do something wrong right then and there doesn't change the fact we're still responsible for what we do. Our children have to learn that same thing. Just because mom and dad aren't there right then. Remember, they live in the now world. It still doesn't mean they're not responsible for what they do. Children need to learn that lesson. It doesn't come immediately. It doesn't come naturally. There are too many other desires. There's too many other distractions that lead them to want to do something else. And you see a whole world of adults still like that. Living such as it's all about what I want, and oh, you mean somebody doesn't like it and I'm responsible for it? Well, yeah. It was your choice. So what you have to do as a parent is you have to give them opportunities to fly or to fail. In Luke chapter 19, Luke chapter 19 and verse 21. Oh, sorry, verse 12. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. A bit longer reading. So he said, "A nobleman who went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, 'Do business with this until I come back.' But the citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, 'We do not want this man to reign over us.' When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared, saying, 'Master, your mina has made 10 minas more.' And he said to them, 'Well done, good slave. Because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, 'Your mina, master, has made 5 minas.' And he said to him also, you are to be over five cities. Another came saying, Master, here's your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you because you were an exacting man, and you take up what you did not lay down, and you reap what you did not sow. He said to him, by your own words, I will judge you, you worthless slave. Did you know that I am an exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Then why did you not put my money in the bank, and having come, I would have collected it with interest? Then he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, Master, but he has 10 minas already. I tell you that everyone who has more will be given, and from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. But these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them in here in my presence, slay them in my presence. I want you to notice, he rewarded when the servant did beyond what he expected, especially for good works. When he didn't do what was even expected of him, that's when he got in trouble. The slave that lost the money, he gave back what he was told to hold. But he said he knew the other guy, the master was hard and exacting. If you notice how he's expressing that, he's blaming the master for his lack of accomplishment. You're too exacting. You demanded things I couldn't accomplish. So the reason why you only got your mina back is it's your fault. And that's exactly the problem that we're trying to avoid. Not taking responsibility for what you chose to do. So at this time, when you get to about 5 to 9, they got a little bit better concept about money or about those types of things. So what I sometimes suggest is give a child allowance. Not a huge amount, you know, not something they can just buy whatever they want with, but something that, you know, may take a week or two to save up enough, maybe a month to save up enough. And what you have to do is let the child decide. And that's sometimes hard. You know, allow the child to make his own decisions about what he's going to spend that money on. Give advice. Give some suggestions, but let the child make the decisions. And then make all the optional purchases their own responsibility. Now, at first, what they'll do is they'll buy everything in sight. And then realize they don't have any money. And they're always out of money. And you know what you do? You don't help them. You just say, well, maybe next time you'll save up enough. They won't like it, but they learned a lesson. Don't you wish some adults learned that lesson? Some of us, I wish I had learned that lesson earlier in my life. If you don't have the money, you don't buy it. It's a simple concept, but somehow we just don't get it across very well. And they'll eventually learn to save. Especially if you remind them once in a while, well, you really need to save. If you want that, you have to save for it. Now, there might be sometimes when they're a little bit older, they overspend. You know, and they really, really, really badly want it. And you decide, maybe I'll just give them a favor because they were extra good this week or something. Well, you know, charge them maybe an interest, in quotes, like the banks do. But don't allow them loans normally, because that just instills a bad habit. I always just go ahead and borrow money. Then there'll be adults that are always borrowing money. Also, make them responsible for their own waste. You know, if they use up all the shampoo in one bath, and I had one child do that. Oops, somehow the lid didn't get back on and the bottle was empty. Well, that comes out of your allowance. Didn't like that very well. But it was that choice, that responsibility. There were other children and other stories too, but in case you want to figure out which one it was. But you also have to understand, too, that ignorance is not an excuse for being irresponsible. It may soften the punishment, but it doesn't remove it. Going back to that one in Luke chapter 12, I had read down to verse 48, but when we got to 47 to 48 of Luke chapter 12, he said, "And that slave who knew his master's will not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will indeed receive but a few." Therein lies a principle that we need to also understand, is that we have to understand if we have a rule, make sure the child knows it. And if it's part of the problem is you didn't express what was wrong, then it doesn't make him less responsible, but you might soften the punishment. One of the things that we tried very hard to do with our kids was to always let them know in advance, here's what is expected from you. And then we held them to that. But there were times when, you know, you just don't think of everything at once. And there's sometimes, I really should have told you, you shouldn't have done that. This child still gets punished, but it's just not as severe as somebody who willfully went out and knowing they weren't supposed to do that and did it anyway. So you keep the responsibility there. Another thing that you can do in helping teach responsibility is to give the child choices. You know, having money that he can spend on optional things, that's their choice. Sometimes also you give them other choices, but always make sure when you give them choices, it's choices you can live with, no matter what choice they make. You know, there's one that you probably prefer, but you can deal with all the other ones that's optional there. And by the way, if you do it and you want to skew the results, I'll give you a hint. The first choice is always the least likely to be accepted. See, children live in the now, so they remember the last thing you tell them. So if you want to skew the results, the one you can live with, but you really don't want them to do, you put that one first, and then you tell the ones you really want them to do last. And if they pick the first one, that kind of tells you they really did badly want it that way. Think about it this way. God gives us choices. God never forces us to follow His will. We have to live with the responsibility and accept that responsibility for our choices. God never forces us. Now, as a child is young, you have to restrict it because they're not well adapted to make good choices yet. But training needs to start. So give them some place where they can start working on how to make good choices. And when they make a bad choice, oh well. Now, one of the ways this comes up is like, for instance, you know, you happen to get a little extra money, you go out to a fast food restaurant. Well, what do you want to buy? Before you get to the counter, they've changed their mind 5 times. You know what happens? When the order, I have the kid tell their order. One of the teachers them to speak up louder. But I have them tell the order. And once it's rung up, and they change their mind again, oh, I didn't mean that. Sorry. Maybe next time you'll say the right thing. It didn't go over well the first few times. But you know what? They thought more about their choices in advance. And yeah, they still changed their mind 5 times before it got to the counter. But they realized once it got paid for, that's it. And they lived with that choice. So in other words, don't give in once a choice is made and rescue them from what you would see in advance would be a poor choice. They got to learn to accept the responsibility. You need also instill the idea of personal responsibility. In Proverbs chapter 9, Proverbs chapter 9, and in verse 12, Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 12. If you are wise, you're wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you alone will bear it. And that's what the answer there is there. You bear the results of your own actions. You make a smart choice, you get the results from it. You make a dumb choice, you get the results from it. What we have sometimes in parenting these days is the child's rescued from bad choices. They didn't do their homework. Well, did you know it was due? Well, yeah, the teacher told me. Oh, well, I guess you're going to get a bad grade. You don't go argue with the teacher and tell them they should have made it more clear or send a note back home or whatever else. They get a bad grade. It was their choice. In Jeremiah 31, and in verse 30, Jeremiah 31 and verse 30. But everyone will die for his own iniquity. Each man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge. See, the Jews like to basically look at themselves as victims. The reason why we're being punished, the reason why we're going off into captivity, the reason why all these things, God's coming down hard on us, is we had lousy ancestors. And God's saying, no. Yes, you had lousy ancestors, but you're going because you sinned. We can see that because in Josiah's reign, God said, I'm holding off. Because Josiah was such a good king. He said, I'm going to hold it off for a few more years. But each was responsible for their own sins. There's a good example of the idea of passing the buck. It starts all the way back from when mankind started, back in Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 13. Then the Lord said to God, said to the woman, what is it that this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Notice the passing of responsibility. What is it that you've done? It's his fault. Not taking personal responsibility. And that's what we need to instill in our kids. Because we have a society filled with people that don't want to take responsibility for what they choose to do. It's difficult for a parent. Even when the child blames someone else, or no one will accept responsibility. Sometimes you go in there and you walk into a room and the lamp's on the floor, crushed into pieces, and you say, who did this? And you'll find either one, you know, they all point to each other, or it just happened to fall off, we don't know, and nobody will accept responsibility. What do you do in that when you absolutely don't know? The answer is then everyone's responsible. You're all in this room, therefore you are all responsible. Peer pressure will eventually succeed in making sure that doesn't happen again. Then you have another problem that sometimes arises. Because if somebody suddenly volunteered after you said, okay, then you're all responsible and you're all going to get this punishment. And then suddenly now, oh, it's Susie's fault. I mean, everybody already knew, and nobody wanted to admit it. So they still get this. You say thanks for the honesty, but you still all get the punishment anyway. And then what you, like I said, one of the things that then you have to counter after that is then there's the tattletale. We're going to head this off in advance. As soon as something goes wrong, we're going to pin the blame on that person. So I don't have anything to do with it. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But what I want to also have you understand while I'm still on this topic is, as parents, sometimes we take on responsibility too much for our children. We try to save our children from their own mistakes. And sometimes you can't do that. Most of the time, you ought not to do that. If a child doesn't come home for dinner in time for dinner, well, there's breakfast. I told you when it was supposed to be here. Now, that's hard. But sometimes it has to be done. Child forgets homework, he gets the grade he gets. You give reminders, but you don't nag. In Proverbs chapter 21, Proverbs 21, and in verse 9, it is better to live in the corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Okay, we don't want to get into that mode, even with our children, of constantly finding fault. So, you know, reminders are there because children live in the now. They sometimes don't remember things. But we don't nag. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is, see, I teach college classes. You'd be surprised how many adult students give for excuses. I don't get the dog ate my homework one. But I get about every one other one possible. Including, well, you didn't tell me that it was due. It's written down. There's at least five places where they find out where things are due. And I'll usually go down through the list. And you say, oh, well. Now, when they get a bad grade, you know whose fault it is? It's mine. But I figure I'm instilling some knowledge in people. But what I'd rather see is children growing up taking on the responsibility themselves. When the child gets older, you can make them responsible for their bedtime, within reasons. And when they wake up, within reasons again. And if they're sleeping, they sleep too late in, they're responsible. And, you know, if they miss out something they really wanted to go to, oh well. They have to go to school a little bit sleepy? Oh, well. Next time you say, well, you ought to get to bed sooner. And they start learning that what I choose has effects. Now, there is also the benefit to a child of learning some independence. We got to remember, again, we're not with the children all the time. They're going to have to make choices when you're not there to tell them what is the best choice. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, and starting with verse 4. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dispensation, and then malign you, and they will give an account to him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. There's a lot of peer pressure in life. Adults feel it, kids feel it. But if they'd realize they're responsible for their choice, and it doesn't matter who else did it or who encouraged them to do it, they'll make better choices. And it helps us when we get to adults to realize we can't go with the crowd, we have to go with God. In Galatians chapter 6, and starting with verse 3, Galatians chapter 6, starting with verse 3, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. That principle that we're trying to get across. If somebody does well, that person gets the responsibility for doing a good job. If someone does a poor job, they have the responsibility for what they did. An accountability for that. Now, dealing with the tattlers, the self-appointed judges, we had problems with that with adults. We don't want to grow our children growing up into those type of people. In Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14. Oops, I'm off track here somewhere. Let's see if I can get myself. Yep, I'm still there. Okay, Romans chapter 14, verse 4. It says, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Actions of another is the decision of the parents of what is allowable. Just because a child decides this shouldn't be done doesn't make it right or wrong. It's what the parent decides is right or wrong. Now, you modify that a little bit. Personal safety is everybody's responsibility. So if someone's about to do something harmful, you go get an adult. Or if you can't get an adult, you do something to stop the harm. You're responsible for that. But make it clear that a child is not allowed to force rules. That's, an adult does that. Why do we want to do that? Because when you get older, you have to realize, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus says the Lord. You don't enforce the other person's rules when it's to your convenience, which is usually what children do. And a lot of adults do too. So we make it clear that they don't enforce the rules. Eventually, you'll place them in charge, and they'll have some limited responsibility and authority. But that's later, as they get older. And children have a tough time learning the subtle difference. The adults have the same problem, too. But we have to get that instilled in them. If there's a problem, let an adult take care of it. Have the adult know about it. But it's not their responsibility. If you have to punish a child because they're doing something wrong, it's not because the tattler told you. It's because that rule was broken. So make sure the tattler's gone when you enforce the rule, so they don't get some glee out of seeing somebody else punished. As I said, we got to watch out for some of the pitfalls. Parents have this tendency to want to take responsibility for a child's action. And it sometimes it's real subtle. Like, for instance, the child comes home with a bad grade. You know what I hear some parents say? We're just going to have to study harder. And that's just absolutely the wrong answer. You know why? Because you said we. You're not responsible for that child not getting a good grade. The answer is, you need to buckle down. It's your responsibility. Don't take it on, even in subtle ways. Or trying to rescue them from all harm. They forgot their homework. They get their grade for turning it in late. They forgot their lunch. Well, maybe somebody will share something with them. Once or twice may not harm. But you got to also watch out that it doesn't become habitual. You got to make sure the child is trying to do what's right. Now, when it comes to discipline and when a child's to this age, if you did it well when they're young, sometimes, especially when you got 2 and 3 year olds, it feels like you're after them all the time. But if you invested well in the earlier years, things like spanking become rarer and rarer as they get older. It happens once in a while, but the distance between them become far and far between. It should always be an option, but the use depends on the offense. Especially like, for instance, violent or destructive behavior. That should warrant a severe punishment. But when you can, some things carry natural consequences, and those should be used. And like defiance needs to be punished. And it doesn't matter how old the child is. Rudeness needs to be punished. For instance, in Matthew chapter 12. I'm losing my... Oops. Keep wanting to advance that slide too soon. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Jesus says, I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. If we understand we have to account for everything we say, child needs to learn that too. If it comes out of your mouth, you're responsible for the words you used. Tantrums that come up, you know, hopefully they're out of that by this age, but sometimes they have meltdowns. One of the things that handle with those is remove the audience, because a lot of times, especially when they get to that age, the tantrum's there because they have an audience. It's a way of getting attention. So send the child to a room or leave the room. But however persistent, whatever they're upset about, they don't get. You never give in to a tantrum. Even if you change your mind and say, you know what, I really probably shouldn't have done that. You don't reward the tantrum. The punishment, whatever you pick, should be severe enough that the child doesn't want to repeat it. But guess what? You will be repeating some punishments. Because sometimes the child just really wants to know where the limits are. And they'll push. Most of the time, it's the consistency that wins out. Not the constant raising the bar of how much punishment comes out. It's just the consistency. Even if it's laughed off or whatever, it's just the consistency of it. They understand this doesn't go. Another way to think about it, and there's scripture behind it. I didn't write them down. But sometimes you restrict the use of things that a child considers important. Not after the, but don't do that after the infraction. You spell it out in advance. If you do this, this is where the restriction will come. So if the grades don't improve next quarter, well, obviously you're not spending enough time studying, so TV and computer is going to be limited to 1 hour a day. Spell it out in advance. They got time to fix it. And if it doesn't, then you follow through with it. One of the things you need to do when you do things like this is make sure it's within the capability of the child. Because nothing's more frustrating than to have a goal set up that you can't hope to achieve. You'll just not give up. You'll just not try. So start with the easy things and work your way up. And if you do it cleverly, you pick well, you can use the punishment as an opportunity to instill better habits in the child. Like, for instance, most kids grow up watching way too much TV anyway. So saying, hey, you're restricted, actually kind of works in as a win-win situation. Not for the child, but from your point of view. So be clever to connect the actions to the consequences and make sure the child assumes responsibility for his own actions. Now, when you get the child to the 4 or 5 year old age, you got chores. You know, there is that, the scripture tells us, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. That also needs to be instilled in the child. People living in a house are expected to contribute to the household. So at mealtime, they can set the table. They can clear the table. Older children can load the dishwasher. They can unload the dishwasher and put the dishes away. They can put clothes in the dryer when they're real little. It doesn't take much to do that one. It may take a little bit more skill to get the clothes into the washer. But when they get older, that can be done. Putting clothes in a hamper. And if they don't bother with it, guess what? You don't have any clean clothes. Oh, well. You didn't bring them down. They can fold their own clothes. Older children can learn to sort clothes. Load a washer, load a dryer. Why do you teach them that? Because you're not always going to be around. Otherwise, you'll have those kids that come back home from college with the big load of, you know, the trunk full of clothes. Because they wore everything they could possibly did for the whole 2 weeks they were gone. And they bring it home for mom to wash. No, they need to learn how to do it themselves. Yard work. They can rake leaves. They can rake the grass. They can plant gardens, plant flowers. In fact, one of the ways, give them their own area. It's all yours. You're responsible for the choices. Whatever you want to do with it, it's your garden. And they get to see the results of what they did. Older children can help with shoveling snow, using a spreader. Maybe when they're old enough, you know, under supervision, using a lawnmower. They can clean. They can pick up toys when they're done. And they don't pick them up, they lose them. Oh, well, you'll get them back later. But they didn't get put away. And if I have to pick them up, they go in the penalty box. They can dust. Older children can sweep. They can mop. They can vacuum. They can care for the pets. They can feed and water. You can make their meals dependent on the animal being fed. Kind of reminds them of their responsibilities. The washing and the grooming. They can do as well. See, adulthood is coming and a child has to be prepared. And it's your responsibility to see that they're taught. There's an interesting verse in Lamentations 3. I remember when it was first pointed out, it was Eric Gauger who pointed out when I was here, ages and ages ago. And when we pointed out, I just found it fascinating. But Lamentations chapter 3, and in verse 27, it is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. What he's referring to is the way of training oxen. You don't take an adult oxen and just then put a yoke on him and then break him to it. The oxen will break you before you break it to the yoke. Very, very stubborn animals. But when they're very little and you put a yoke, just a miniature yoke, a very light burden on their back, they grow up accustomed to it. And as they get older, you put it a little bigger and a little bigger. And when they get adults, they don't think about it, that a yoke is on them. That's just the way things are. In other words, it's another form of the passage in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. A child has to get used to the responsibilities. Now, he doesn't get full adult responsibilities as a child. He gets light responsibilities that gradually increase as he gets older. We give them smaller versions, but they get used to being responsible. And then when they get old, you get responsible adults. Because that's just the way things are. Help me think about these things. I'd like to offer, again, it's not a lesson that was meant to bring people to Christ, but it's something that we all need to know. Not only as children, but sometimes also remind ourselves as adults. We're responsible for our actions. We can't blame anybody else for the choices that we make. We might like to, but we can't. There's an opportunity right now for a choice, and that is if you wish to become a child of God. There's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And if there's anyone here who is a child of God, like the prayers of the brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selected.